Hi everyone, Teresa Aker here from Success Diaries with Teresa Aker. It is my privilege today to bring you Nichelle Bose. How you doing, Nichelle?
I am doing well, Teresa. Thank you so much for having me. And I hope I can add some value for your audience
I
today.
know you're going to. That's why we have you here, Nichelle.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm
My
excited.
pleasure. Now I'm just going to read your biography, just a quick intro, and then we're going to come back to you, Nichelle.
Awesome.
Okay, so just give me one second here. So, Nichelle is a beach-loving empowerment coach and author of Sacred Serenity and Unleashing Authentic Leadership. That sounds very impressive. Nichelle, where shall we start? Can we start in the beginning?
Yeah, let's start in the beginning. Because I am a believer that in order to do things well, you have to have a strong sense of self. And so that is why I focus on empowerment. And people might be like, what does that have to do with leadership? But if you don't know yourself and you haven't done the work on you, it really does impact the way you lead. And when we are in positions of leadership, we have the ability to influence and impact so many other people that it's absolutely important that we start with self. So that's why I start with empowerment. And then from there, we can get to leadership coaching. So, yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
Nichelle, thank you so much for that. So when we talk about empowerment, let's go there. Let's start right at empowerment. So let's define empowerment. I'll tell you why, because I have had other speakers on, and a lot of people talk about empowerment. And I think it's because, my opinion, we may not have been trained as we were kind of the last generation to this one, transition to a different type of role for men and women. Would that be a fair statement? And I'm really being general there.
I think it's multiple factors, right? Like I think depending on how you were socialized, right? Like there are some people who are socialized to be givers and to be doing for others, but not to pour into themselves. And when you are a leader, if you take that mindset into leadership, you become so depleted, and then that necessarily impacts your leadership, which then necessarily impacts your team, right? And so for me, it's about the way you've been socialized. And it doesn't always break along gender lines. It can break along class lines. It can break along culture lines. It can break along even regional lines, right? Like where you grew up and how those, what influences were a part of your upbringing. So, yeah.
That's terrific, Nichelle, and I agree with you. You've got a wonderful example of how things are sort of spread, how we look at our lives from our own glasses, so to speak, correct? So I would ask you, so let's say we started with empowerment. How would you start helping people? Is it one-on-one? Do you go to companies? What do you do with your empowerment coaching?
I can do one-on-one, I can do group coaching, and I can do sessions, like larger sessions with companies. My preference is to do the group coaching because that's like 6 to 8 people, and you're in a group with other people, and you're learning from other people and with other people, and it doesn't feel so isolated, and you're being poured into. But I can do the larger seminars. My background is in teaching, so I can facilitate the larger seminars and do that work as well. But I think the thing that I found that moves the needle is what you do after you see me. So let's say we have a session, it's that in between work that you do during the week, which is why I love the group coaching so much, because you have a group to help you, to support you, and to hold you accountable to doing the daily work, right? Because that's where the change really happens.
Well, I would think you really have to be motivated if you're going to go to these courses to learn and you want to develop yourself. When you're really involved, I think you're right. When there's other people kind of around you get kind of a camaraderie and a feeling of togetherness, and we're all in this together. But can I ask you, Nichelle, could you give us an example of an empowerment idea that you could give us?
Oh, yeah. So let me do this. I'm going to answer your question a little bit long-winded, but just bear with me. There is a reason
It's
I'm doing
your
that.
floor, Nisha. You could do whatever you want.
I generally believe that there is a pathway that we walk along to this empowerment journey, right? We start with self-awareness, right? Because if you don't know yourself, you can't You can't move the needle if you don't know where you are in that moment. And then we move to self-acceptance, right? Because knowing myself and accepting myself are two very, very different things. And then from there, we move to self-compassion. Because once I accept myself, like being kind to myself, right? And there are areas that I may need to grow in. There are areas that I might excel in, but being kind to myself, no matter where I am on the continuum, is really important, which then leads to the self-love, self-trust, because a lot of times when we are in these leadership positions, that's where it starts to break down, is that we don't trust ourselves and we try to emulate other people. So that self-trust is important. Then we move to self-validation, not needing that external validation, right? It's not about where I live. It's not about the car I drive. It's not about how many accolades I get. It's about knowing that I am like walking in my purpose. Self-advocacy is another place where you see leadership start to fall apart, where people don't want to or afraid to, can't stand up for themselves or advocate on their own behalf, or they think that advocating means being aggressive, which it totally doesn't. And then the last spot stop is self-sovereignty. Standing in your power, right? Being knowing what you know, knowing that you know what you know, and being confident in that. So when I offer you the one tip, right, like for the empowerment piece, right, it's this is one thing that I always say to my clients. Think of your favorite little person. Person can't be more than 5 years old, right? And I want you to get that person in your mind. And then I want you to think of that person has made a mistake and a stranger is going to correct them. What is the tone? What are the words that you want that stranger to use, right? Get that in your mind. Now, the next time you make a mistake, that's how you talk to yourself.
Michelle, it sounds so simple, but we don't. I
We
know I
don't.
beat myself up. I talk to myself. I'm like the worst person in the whole world. But when my best friend does it, oh, don't worry about it. You're awesome. You know, this is nothing. Oh, you did nothing wrong. And we talk about ourselves. You're right. And a little person, what a great analogy. Someone little, that is terrific because right away I was thinking, oh, don't upset them. Right? So you're right. Very well done, Michelle. I like that.
We don't want to harm our littles, but for some
No.
reason, we think it's okay to harm ourselves and we say some very negative things to ourselves. But imagine, right, if you were able to have grace with yourself, what that does for your ability to have grace with other people. Because generally, the things that frustrate us about ourselves also frustrate us about other people. And so if we were having grace with ourselves, then we would interact with other people on a much more gracious plane. And so that's one of the empowerment tips that I can offer to folks. It's very straightforward, right? When you catch yourself saying things that you wouldn't say to your favorite little person, just, we're not going to beat up ourselves about it. We're just going to change. And we're going to say to ourselves what we would say to our favorite little person.
I love that, Nichelle. Well done. I mean it. That's really good. Now, it also brought me to because we're talking about leadership. So as we talk about people in positions of leadership, you're right. They have to feel good about themselves, but they do tend to get a little bit perhaps nervous and a little bit insecure because, as you know, when you start into a leadership role, you're really starting all over again. So it's very difficult to do that transition and trying to not sort of scrutinize yourself too much. Are those the people that you're working with as well, Nichelle?
Okay, so I want to give you an example, right? Let's
Sure.
take the same tip that I just gave
Yes.
you. I'm stepping into this new leadership role. I am new to the organization. I'm new to the team, right? If I'm coming in with my insecurities leading as opposed to my grace,
Yes.
the way that I interact is going to be very different, right? But let's talk about letting the grace lead. If I'm coming in and I'm letting grace lead and I'm meeting my team for the first time, I'm going to say to them something like, hey, I'm so excited to meet you. You have a wealth of knowledge about these roles, about this work, about this organization, and I'm excited to learn from you and with you. Yes, I will change some things. Some things will stay the same, but we're going to have conversations, right? And we're going to move together as a team, right? Which is very different than me coming in terrified and feeling like now I have to feel like I'm the person in authority. And I put on this fake authoritative, persona, which people can see right through, right? They know that that's not. And so that authenticity is so important, right? Knowing who you are so you can lead from your authentic space. And so that people, you become an invitation for your team. Right now they're drawn to you. They want to learn from you. They want to learn with you. They want to work with you because part of being a leader is you have to invest people in doing things sometimes that they do not want to do, right? And so
Exactly.
if you've got this fake persona on and you're trying to invest them, that comes off more like power, right? Like a power dynamic. But if I'm leading from my authentic space and I say to you, listen, we have to do this project. I know that this is not something that you're excited about, but let me tell you where it could benefit us, where it could benefit the company. And while we may not love it, we're going to get through it as a team. We're going to work together and we're going to get through this thing that we don't love as a team, but we know that there are going to be benefits because when we get through this, here's what we can get to next, right? Which is a very different. Now I'm the invitation. Now I'm inviting you. I'm coming along with you, right? And that's part of why I believe in leading from your authentic place.
I love that. No wonder you're such a good teacher. All the years of background. Now, I know you have a book. Can we talk about your book? Do you happen to have it in front of you or no?
I do have it in front of me, Unleashing Authentic Leadership, but I didn't print it in paperback because for the most part, this generation is electronic. So it's a Kindle only. It's a very short read. It's no more than 60 pages. I did not want to write a tome because I wanted it to be something easy to read, something easy to apply. And quite frankly, if you want to know more, come work with me, right? And so what you get in the book is the REACHES framework. And REACHES is an acronym that stands for build relationships. So the R, relationships, empathy, advocacy, cultural intelligence, high expectations, empowerment, and support.
I
And
like
the
that.
idea behind REACHES is that you start off any leadership relationship by building relationships with your team. What do I mean when I say that? Whenever I step into a new role, I have a work style inventory. I fill it out for myself. I give it to each team member and I ask them to fill it out for me. On there, it asks things like, what brought you to this role? Like, what is your prime time of the day? What is the time of the day when your synapses are firing and you're on the go? It asks things like, what are your pet peeves? How do you prefer to receive feedback? Right. And so getting to know your team, right? The minute I give that out and I let them know me and I get to that sends a signal that I, as a team member, am of value. You want to know me because the work, we tend to think that the work is the most important piece, but it is the people that do the work that is the most important piece, right?
Oh,
Humans can either help your company to soar or they can tank it. Right. And so starting with the relationship piece.
so when you're working with the leaders, do you also work with their team as a whole or just leaders?
So generally, I just work with leaders, but we we start with an inventory that we give the team members that, they give feedback that I get to see about the leader. And then at the end, we send another inventory out so that the team can tell us if the leader has moved the needle or not, right? Because they're the ones that are the benefactors of this work that we're doing. They're the secondary benefactors.
Oh, that's terrific. So you're actually monitoring as well from the course and helping and getting feedback so that you can adjust and decipher what is needed so that they can work together. That's well done. I like that.
What's working, what's not working, where do we need to tweak?
Exactly. How long have you been doing this for? Can we ask you that?
I've been doing this informally in just my role for about 12 years, and
Okay.
then I started doing this as a as a coach about 2 years ago because I realized like so here's what happened, Teresa. I realized that people were coming and poaching my team members because they were doing
Of course they would.
not only were they doing good work, but they were doing it with a spirit of collegiality
Good.
and, just like they were good people to work with, right? I will not take credit. It came to me as good people. What I did was help them to define their leadership. And so now what happens is they step into these other leadership roles and they call me up and they're like, "Wait, I need to talk to you. What if I have this issue and, what should I do?" And for the most part, they know what to do. And so I ask them questions and they're like, "Oh yeah." And I'm going to do that. Or I did that yesterday. Matter of fact, 2 days ago, I had somebody who stepped into a leadership role within the company send me a frantic Zoom chat. Can we talk? I need to talk to you. And I was like, yes, I'll be available at 4:30. And by the time I saw her at 4:30, she said, "I did what you taught me to do." She didn't want to talk about how to solve the problem anymore. She wanted to talk about how she had applied what we had
Perfect.
already done and how it worked well for her. And then we were able to build on that. So I lead, the kind of leader that I am is I think of leadership as I'm not just leading you to do well in the role that you're currently in. I am leading you so that you can get to your next thing. Like whatever you define that next thing as, I want to be helping you to get there. Because I tell people all the time, when you leave my team, you can either be an ambassador for our team and our work, or you can be a detractor. If I have the option, which am I going to invest in, right? I want to make you an ambassador. I want you to have such a great experience working on this team that when you leave, you would be like, "Oh yeah, hands down, I would recommend working on that team." Or, "Hands down, I know that, this person or that person on that team will help you if you reach out." So, yeah.
Let me ask you, Nichelle, with the whole world, it seems it's not, but it seems everyone's online. Okay. Do you do a lot of your courses online with the companies, or do you go to companies? What is your
It
preferred?
depends. It's completely up to the client. It's going to cost you more if I have to come out, right?
Sure.
Because I live somewhere and I have to fly and I have to stay
Sure.
somewhere and I have to bring my materials. But if that's what would work best for your company, then that's what I would do, right? Because again, it's about building those relationships, understanding the context. In my 9-to-5 work, I completely manage my team online. I've never met some of my team members, completely managed remotely, and I can do that. But that's not the context in which everyone thrives. And so it depends on how they want to do it. What I try not to do, Teresa, is I try not to do standalone courses that people can just do asynchronously. I do like some sort of engagement with them because people will have questions. And so I find that sometimes when you do like questions and you have like the live, of the ability to answer questions live, it sparks other questions, right? And it deepens the understanding of the context, of the content, rather. And so I prefer a hybrid, but I'll do whatever the company prefers.
Now, do you find the online with your when you're training, are you finding pretty much everyone's adjusted to working from home anyway if they have to?
No.
We have Zoom and WebEx and Teams and all kinds of things. So it's
No.
pretty interactive, right?
Some people don't like it, right? Even though they can do
Oh,
it, some
okay.
people do not prefer it. And you would think like that mostly young people would be very happy to do the remote working. Some young people are like, "No, I need interaction. I need stimulation. I want to be in person." And so it's really about understanding who is your client, what would work for them, and then, tailoring the program based on what you can give and what they need, right? Sometimes there are people for whom I'm not the best fit. I'm happy to refer them out because I'm, like if they want somebody on site for like 6 to 8 weeks, that's not me. I can't do that, right? I'm not gonna be away from my home for 6 to 8 weeks.
I
I do
understand.
not love hotels that much. But, so like a hybrid option is probably best for me.
Michelle, I see two pictures in behind you. Is that your family?
No. These are just pictures that I found.
They're
One
lovely
sets
pictures. I
me.
wasn't sure if it was your family that you
And
had.
do you see the happy with all the books, right? Like, because that's so me. And then the other one says phenomenal. So I try to remind myself that we are, each of us is phenomenal in our own right. We have gifts, we have purpose. And so I try to remind myself and others that, you are not created to sink to your lowest level. You are created to just be the highest version of yourself. Now, life may happen and things may happen. And the way I like to think of it is sometimes our authentic selves, like when you're younger and you're trying on outfits and you get everything ends up on the bed, right? Whatever is on the bottom of that pile is like stifling for air. And sometimes that's what happens to our authentic selves, right? So much has happened in our lives that we're bogged down by that. But I try to think of my coaching less as transformation and more as a release, because that authentic person is living in there. It just
Sure.
hasn't had the opportunity to come out and play. And so I try to think of my coaching. I tell my clients, actually, I'm not trying to change you or transform you. What I'm trying to do is to give the authentic version of you the air and space to breathe so that you can benefit from being your authentic self.
I feel like you have an amazing knack to bring the inside out, to just go in there and just pull it out and be the best person you can be without, you hardly have to try. I feel like I want to be part of your course and do your training because I just know you could get me where I want to go. That's wonderful, Michelle. You are
Because
such a
you have to
warm, pleasant
believe.
person.
Yeah, I feel like you have to believe, right? Like you absolutely have to believe, and you have to see the magic in each person, right? And so I wrote an article once. I have a blog, and I blogged about, are people really difficult or are they misunderstood?
Oh, good.
Because a lot of times we think, oh, this employee is difficult. Well, are they in the right fit for their skill set? Do they feel heard? Do they feel seen? Do they feel valued? Right.
Yeah.
And so this is where in my model, cultural intelligence becomes like the piece. Because when people think culture, they tend to think race-based, but culture is so much broader. Generations have culture,
Agreed.
regions have culture, companies have culture. So understanding the cultural context in which your team members thrive is so important, you
That makes
know?
so much sense, Nisha.
Yeah.
I would think a lot of corporations perhaps even struggle a little, not the corporations themselves, but the departments themselves, because you're right, they're coming from all different walks of life, all different education, all different life issues. So they're
Yeah.
coming from all of those directions, and you're able to go in there and say, okay, I get it. We've got to deal with this. If everybody dealt with their own individuality and their own assets and strengths, and came in there with confidence, then everybody's sort of working together instead of this shyness or backing off, or as you said, the frustration or really feeling insecure, right? So
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
like that. I truly do. That's really well done, Michelle. I like that. And you're the person I can see calmly, respectfully, leader-driven. You're the person that can do it for them.
Well, I mean, if it's a good fit, right? Like I
It
can
is a
do
good
it for you, because what I'm, again, I'm not, I don't like, my model is not prescriptive in that it's like, do this, do that. If I say to you, I think you would value from building relationships with your team or demonstrating empathy, what's the way that's authentic to you to build relationships, right? Like for me, doing the work style inventory is an easy entry point for me. That's not the same for everyone. So
No.
we'll sit and figure out what's authentic to you, what would feel comfortable to you, and we'll start there, right? Demonstrating empathy. It doesn't look the same for everybody. And so it's not prescriptive. It's not a prescriptive set of activities that you can do and then magically you're going to be a better leader, right? You come to me if you're willing to do the work
Sure.
because I'm going to ask you the questions. I'm going to hold you accountable to like getting in there and doing the work and figuring it out because again, we can either leak on our team members or we can uplift them.
Sure, I
Right.
get that.
Yeah.
I get that. Now, I know you're we talked about different social media network. Do you so you have social media. I know that you're on certain platform. Do you have any like are you on YouTube? Where's your best place to find you?
The best place to find me is at my website, leadershipthatreaches.com.
Leadershipthatreaches.com. And I'll make
Right.
sure that's on here too.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
from and so if anybody wants to reach out to Nichelle, that's where you could certainly do that.
Yes.
Wow, Nichelle, I enjoy every second listening to you. You really truly are a wonderful example of taking your wonderful background and making it beneficial for everyone. So thank you so much.
You
Okay.
are most welcome and thank you for the platform.
Well, I have a second question. Will you come back again?
Absolutely, absolutely, because we just scratched the surface
We
today.
did, I know.
Absolutely.
And
Yes.
the time just flew by. So,
Yeah.
Nichelle, I would really, that's just wonderful. We want to have you back. So, for everyone, this is Nichelle Bowe. She can be found. I'll make sure I get all of Nichelle's network and social media and everything she's on, and you'll be able to reach out to her. So, thank you again, Nichelle. I'm
Thank you
Teresa
so
Aker
much.
from Success Diaries with Teresa Aker. I hope you're all having a great day, and I look forward to talking to you all very soon. Oh, and please subscribe to our channel, my channel here. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. Bye bye now.